Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
The Hurricanes eliminated the defending champions in a 4-3 overtime, double overtime win in Game 7 against the Caps. Brock McGinn scored 11:05 into the second overtime. Sebastian Aho, Toivo Teravainen, and Jordan Staal all scored. Peter Mrazek made 34 saves. The Canes will be at the New York Islanders for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference second round Friday at 7 p.m. Round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs begins tonight. Already, the Blue Jackets will be in Boston to start the Eastern Conference second round against the Bruins. That's at 7 p.m. The Blues will host the Stars 9:30 to kick off the Western Conference second round. It was announced earlier this morning that Rochester Americans goalie Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has undergone a successful hip surgery. He is expected to make a full recovery within the next 6 months. The Rochester Americans got swept in round one of the North Division semifinals for the Calder Cup to the Toronto Marlies in 3-1 Game 3 loss last night. Second-year forward Adam Brooks recorded his first career professional hat-trick in the win. Tage Thompson scored for the Amerks, and Scott Wedgwood made 17 saves. Today is day one of the 2019 NFL Draft. Tune into One Bills Live with Murph and Steve for a full preview of the draft to hear from Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds on his draft day experience from last year and from Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. The draft is being held for the first time ever in Nashville, Tennessee. Also for the first time ever, ABC is set to broadcast all 3 days of the draft, including 2 nights of primetime coverage. You can also catch coverage on NFL Network and ESPN, and online coverage will be live at NFL.com/watch coverage of round one begins tonight at 8 p.m., And the Jays waited till the Leafs were out so the fans would come and watch Vladimir Guerrero Jr. make his debut on Friday night.
Yo.
You think that was calculated? You think it's like, we don't want to bring Vladdy up here if the Leafs are playing because no one's going to come and watch because, you know, baseball's America's pastime and, you know, hockey is Canada's, you know, co-national sport. Think there's any merit to that? Or it's like, you know, hey, let's uplift the Leaf fans while they're down and switch over to the Blue Jays. It's kind of a it's a good move.
Smart. Sucks for
the Bisons.
I am reading today, you know, it's interesting that we talked about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen undergoing hip surgery, which is like a head scratcher. It's like, wow, you know, another what's the first thing you thought of when you thought of this situation for this young goaltender?
The goalie?
Yeah.
Bogosian?
Yeah, well, you can go there. But what I was thinking was, there goes this guy's summer. He's going to be in Buffalo. He's going to be rehabbing here in Buffalo, I would have to think, because are you going to trust sending this guy back to Finland and have them work on this properly? I mean,
he's a big-time prospect.
What do you mean big-time? He is probably, I would say, the number one prospect that the Buffalo Sabres currently have right now.
So that would make him a big-time prospect.
I'd say even more than that.
He is, of course you would.
He is elite. He's the number one prospect that you probably that we have right now. He had a fantastic year in Sudbury in the OHL. And, you know, now he's going to be playing next year for the Rochester Americans. This guy's got to be ready to go.
I
would think that they're going to be keeping him here in Buffalo to kind of really oversee and make sure that the recovery goes properly for him.
I just feel like league-wide, hockey-wide, for I don't know how many years now, you'd be able to tell me better that this has become a bit of an epidemic. I mean, maybe not just with goaltenders, but players in general. My brother's had the hip done, like both of them done, actually. Two players from the Sabres in 2 days are announced that they've had hip surgery.
Yeah.
there are other players around the league that I didn't Cal Peterson have hip surgery, the old prospect out of Notre Dame. I feel like he had hip surgery, or someone else. I mean, and that's not just with the Sabres. I just feel like around the league, I feel like there's so many hip issues. All right, we're not doctors, but I just I thought I'd throw that out there, that I just feel like these are becoming more common.
Well, it's the time of year, right? You know, you have the Maple Leafs reading here that Zach Hyman underwent a surgery for a ACL sustained in the first round of the playoffs against Boston. You know, I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys, you know, once their seasons are over, you're going to see a lot of guys that are going to need some repairs. It's a tough sport.
You weren't here yesterday. Dregs stopped by the show a little earlier in the day as usual, but a couple days earlier to make up because we're off tomorrow because it's NFL draft day. Exciting day. We got our Bills stuff on. You're going one Buffalo. I got the Bills shirt on here. Didn't do a mock draft this year. Not a mock draft guy. I'm sorry. But Dregs dropped a bit of a, we'll call it a nugget on the show here. Jacques Martin is a leading candidate. Not the, but a leading candidate to become Sabres coach.
Sabres head coach or assistant
coach?
Well,
it doesn't say. I mean, you know, so that's a good point. I mean, if you're interested in bringing in this Rickard Granberg, which, by the way, I saw a picture of him yesterday for the first time. You've seen this guy?
I haven't.
If he asked me to march, I'd march. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a stern guy. I don't know if we have a picture of him, but throw him up. He has the beard and everything. Like, exactly what I'd want to see. But anyway, what if you brought Jacques Martin in as a associate coach to Rickard Granberg? I mean, if that were the case, or head coach even for that matter. He's been very influential in Pitt. We know there's a tie to obviously, you know, Botts in Pittsburgh, but I mean, he was very influential, and there was a time where he wasn't on the bench either, if I recall.
Yeah, you know, he's spent obviously time in St. Louis as a head coach back in the 80s. Then he went to Chicago, was an assistant coach in Chicago for a couple years. He did the Quebec, Colorado, because they moved franchise, but it was an associate coach there. Then he went to Ottawa. For a number of years, quite a long time in Ottawa as a head coach, then went to Florida as a head coach, then went to Montreal as a head coach. And now the last little while, he's been in Pittsburgh since 2013. So obviously Jason Botterill knows Jacques Martin very well. So he would have a really good grasp on what this guy can do. Obviously his resume is completely off the chart. He's won, a couple of Stanley Cups. He's got all the hockey knowledge in the world.
That's exactly it. Right. I mean, like we talk about, what we're looking for maybe in a coach. We say we, but just in general, you talk about someone that has a presence in the room, can command the room. But I also feel like a lot of it would be philosophy. And I feel like Jacques Martin would have some pretty good philosophy to bring to the table in some regard, for sure. Right. I mean, with his successes over the years, what he's seen in Pittsburgh, all of that stuff, what makes guys, you know, successful. I don't know if it's systematic things or if it's even just communication with players, but I mean, I don't know if even, you know, I'm just,
he's been with seven organizations. Okay. When we're talking structure and systems, I mean, he's seen all of it. He knows what works. He's been directly involved right from his head coaching job in St. Louis was 1986 to 88. That's a long, long time ago. But he's kept up in this game. He understands that the players that when he was coaching back in 86 are completely on a different stratosphere than what are being coached right now, these kids, okay? They're a very different breed. They're a different thought process, but he's been able to kind of the evolution of the game of hockey, not only on the ice but off the ice, because he's been a part of it still, and he's on the bench. He's still highly involved. the hockey knowledge there would be completely off the chart to pick up a coach like that. Is he going to be a head coach for the Buffalo Sabres at this point in his life at age 66? I don't know if that's the guy that we want running the show, but he certainly has you know, the resume to go with everything.
That sound you just heard maybe in the background was, that's what you call vacation battery on your computer. How's the computer treating you over there? Can we get rid of a charger in here, please? We got another 50 minutes to go, and he's already out of gas. Plugged the computer in a little bit late today, did you?
Well, that's because I have no pens in the back because Duffer and Marty think that you know, my office is.
You
is
did
their
open
office,
yourself
right?
up to that when Absolutely. You put on the on the tape. Don't touch my pens, Duffer. I mean, what did you think he was going to leave them all there? It's a wide open invitation for him to take them all.
How many of the 40 pens that I had this year are in my?
You
cup?
Have zero pens.
Zero
in your
pens
glass.
In the cup.
You have zero pens in your glass. There might be a couple, you know, like a lost and found. We got a little lost and found of pens here that you can.
Yeah,
you can use. It's like a
anyway. Lights like old, went out. Lights went
old
out.
Old box of sneakers there. See if you can grab a couple. But grab a couple and throw them on your feet.
You know, right now for me, it's pretty thin out there for coaches. You know, I think Jason Botchel, I don't think realistically can really make the proper decision until the playoffs are over. You know, like we don't know what. Coaches might be fired or what's out there. I think as of right now with what's out there, Jason Botchel has to be very patient.
Okay, so he might be a leading candidate, but that means like there's obviously other candidates and we're looking at a list right now, potential Sabres head coach candidates. I mean, and these aren't given to us from anybody. They're just names that we've grabbed out of thin air that could be available and names that have been tossed around in the potential head coaching market. I mean, Todd Richards is interesting. I mean, you know, there's a philosophy there from Tampa Bay. I mean, he has to have learned something from Cooper in his times and what works. How do you make star players tick?
And
things
where
like
was
that.
He head coach?
Was he Columbus or Columbus, L.A.? Yeah. He was in L.A. Columbus. Too, wasn't he? Hold on. He was in Columbus. Is he one of your guys? Is he a long shot candidate or is he a guy that you would want to?
Again, I spoke of this last week when we were on. I don't have any input on who these guys are. You know, for me to sit there and say that Todd Richards isn't a guy that I would pick, I don't even know. Yeah, I know that he was a head coach in the league.
Riv, you know, I mean, like, there's got to be a look, too. I mean, like, there's got to be, you know, a guy you want to see behind the bench, like, just taking control.
Listen, I mean, I think Jason Botchel is looking for a guy that has a voice, that has presence, that when he walks in, guys sit up a little bit straighter, and it's not a country club. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that's going to take control of this dressing room, and it's going to take control from every single guy. That means Jack Eichel, too. Jack Eichel's not going to dictate what's going to happen in the dressing room. It's going to be the coach. The coach is going to run the show. Jack is just one of the players. He's a very good player. But right now, we need a guy that's going to come in here and take this very young team and show them the way.
You want younger players to maybe walk a little straighter, so to speak. I mean, like figure of speech there. But just mean... You know, like, I don't want to say walk on eggshells, but I mean, you want, like, you want to make them a little bit uncomfortable.
If you're not uncomfortable, you are not growing. When you're comfortable.
Yeah, well, I was uncomfortable every day in my career, and I got bought out, so how did that work?
You stayed in the league a very long time, Petey. You keep putting yourself down all these years.
Oh, it's just self-deprecation. It's just fun.
It's not fun listening to it because you did wonders and had an amazing career because you did feel uncomfortable and you did have to come to work every day and you did put the time and effort in and you did work. Who made you feel uncomfortable?
Well, you know what? Everybody from Darcy to Lindy to the assistant
Stop.
Coaches to
there you
leadership
go.
And the team, Mike Greer.
Enough said.
Chris Drury, you.
I mean, enough said.
Okay, well, where did I...
Started with the GM and went to the guy that the GM felt was the right guy for the job, and that was Lindy Ruff. And Lindy Ruff, you came to the rink every single day, and guys knew that
there's a right discomfort and there's a wrong discomfort. And
guys knew
there
that
were
there was happy Lindy,
Yeah.
And unhappy Lindy.
And, you know, and there are also, I don't want to say lines that are crossed in an abusive manner, but I'll say that, like, you know, lines are crossed sometimes and things are said and players are spoken to in certain ways that lose teams, lose players, yeah. You know, and maybe even, you know, this is what we're talking about, though, with how to handle these newer age players. And Dreger said it yesterday in the show. It's a different kind of message that coaches need to get through now. It's like you're handling delicate, fragile personalities, young, you know, like, I don't know why I'm laughing at that, but it's true. I mean, like, I can't imagine any of these kids hearing some of the things I might have heard from a coach and wonder if they're going to be, you know, in fetal position, sucking their thumb because they can't handle it.
Listen, I think there needs to be, in today's game, there needs to be a relationship built with these players. Back when we played, when I came in, there was zero relationship with my coaches. Zero. You didn't even talk to them. They weren't out reminiscing with the guys in the locker room. You never saw them. They were the coach, and when they walked into a room, you felt uncomfortable, and you felt uncomfortable being called to their office. It was always being uncomfortable, and you always felt like you weren't doing enough, that you had to work harder, that if you didn't perform, then you were one phone call away from going someplace else or going to the minors. That's the way
that
it felt.
That doesn't scare players anymore because other teams will just grab another player. Player now knows that there's other opportunity out there if they're good enough. I mean,
sure.
Like even the biggest jerks in any sport, doesn't matter what it is, will get another chance because they're talented enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess.
But what I'm trying to say is that was back then, and I don't think that coaching style back then would be able to, it would not be beneficial for the players of today. And I think the players of today, they've put a lot of time and effort. These young players that are coming up have put a tremendous amount of time and effort to hone their skills to get to where they are now. And they're more confident than what they've ever been because they're starting to train earlier and they're starting to do more earlier. And when they start to hit 18, 19, 20, 21, these guys are close to the top of their game.
But you
need to build a relationship with these young players. These young guys need to respect you as a coach. That's the first and foremost. Once you have the respect, then you can be hard on them. Because if they don't respect you first, then you're completely done and you're just, you know, crawling uphill, directly uphill, which it's going to be a very tough battle. You have to earn respect. You have to be personable with these young guys. There has to be a tremendous amount of communication. You have to show that you can be, you know, the good cop and the bad cop in the same person. And these guys, when you are the bad cop, they need to understand, I may not like this, but I respect you, so we're going to discuss and we're going to talk about it. And that's what needs to happen with the new coaching staff. There has to be a tremendous amount of more one-on-one communication all the time.
I couldn't imagine the procedure that goes into finding or trying to find the right coach in any sport, yeah, for this day and age. And it's not a millennial discussion. It's just scare tactics don't work anymore. Bully tactics from coaches, they don't work anymore. They might on entry-level guys and maybe certain guys maybe might fuel from that. There are certain guys that, I mean, Jay McKee was the ultimate whipping boy, but I mean, it never fazed him. It raised his game. And then there are guys like, throw me into that mix. I mean, where if you don't get any positive reinforcement from a coach and you continuously, you know, might get, you know, slapped around a little bit verbally, you know, that gets old and tiring. You know what I mean? So yeah, you have to, like, it's, but I still, you have to find the motivation in it. And I guess that's where picking a coach is so hard because you can't scare these guys. Like, I mean, you can't scare a guy on an 8-year deal for multi-million dollars.
You can scare them. But like I said before, being hard on these young players, okay, being hard on these players in the game nowadays, you have to have respect from them. Because if you don't and you're hard on them, they'll quit on you. That's the reality of it.
Well, I wonder that's now the way if they the only it. Scare tactic is like presidents of organization calling out star players because you can't bench them because you need them. And you can't trade them because you need them. And you can't send them down and you can't sit them out. So maybe the only way, and the coach doesn't want to do it because if the coach does it and loses the respect of the room, then you're sitting there going, well, this guy's screwed. So if the president does it, he's untouchable. Boom, he goes out, calls out his two best players, and now they're in the second round.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that's a scare tactic where it's like, oh, I don't want to get called out by the next president of the team. Like, you don't think
and
that.
And
like,
why did he do it? Why did he do it? Did you read the article on why he did it?
Well, yeah. Because
Dallas is not necessarily considered a hockey market, and there's not a lot of exposure going on down there. So who's supposed to keep these guys accountable? The one guy that writes for the Dallas Journal?
If that's what they're called, the Dallas Journal,
or
maybe?
Whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They sit there down there. They make their,
they're on the ranch.
We're talking about Ben and Sagan. You're talking about two guys that have who's keeping them accountable? Is it the media? Are you playing in Montreal or Toronto or Buffalo? Is it the media that's keeping them accountable? There is no media down there.
Well, not if there's not.
So they leave the rink, a beautiful rink, by the way, and they have their beautiful sports car, and they cruise to the bank and get their ungodly funds out. And you know what? If they're not working and they're not producing, then who's keeping them accountable? The coach can't, right? Because we just talked about that. Is Jim Montgomery, first-year coach, going to keep those guys accountable? You know what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They bring in Jim Montgomery, an unproven, unknown coach, and how are you going to keep
a very good coach, by the way?
Yeah, 100% a very good coach out of the University of Denver, right?
Yep.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that if he says in the media, Ben and Sagan have been absolutely junk, and we need more from them, he might go in the locker room, and the two of them might walk up to him and be like, I don't know how you did it at Denver. But you're not going to talk to us that way. And regardless of whether that's a right attitude or wrong attitude, happens or doesn't happen, because I don't know those players by character, so I can't speak whether they would do that or not. But I'm just saying that they would have merit to do that, because this guy hasn't, walked in their shoes, felt the pressure of having to perform and carry a franchise and make $9 million and score 40 goals and fight and do whatever Jamie Benn does and Sagan does.
Then
but
who is going to keep them accountable?
Well, either the...
Who is going to keep that somewhat... Is a gorgeous place to play, by the way, Dallas, but can become complacent, stale. Who's going to keep those top guys accountable? Sometimes they need to feel uncomfortable, and when they feel uncomfortable, that's when they're going to start to make strides again. And you know what? I don't think
they were ticked off and a little bummed out and didn't want to. I don't want to say bummed out, but I can't swear.
After what
I can't
happened?
Swear. So
I think it's an embarrassment for them. You have the captain of that team, Jamie Benn.
Think they upped their game?
Absolutely they did.
Okay.
I hate to say it, and I don't agree with what...
I do. I totally agree with what happened in Dallas. If a higher-up in management wants to go and criticize players that are making ungodly amounts of money because they don't look like they're working hard enough, go get them. Because you know what? As wrong as Nicholson was in Edmonton... Tobias Ryder sucked. I mean, what else is he supposed to say? Like, you don't think Toby Reeder needed to hear that? I mean, the whole world knew it. You don't think he knew it? At least he knew where he stood. I mean, I don't mind it.
You're telling me that's acceptable?
I don't.
Coming from your CEO?
Well, from my seat here, I think I can say that. If I'm in the locker room, I might disagree. But guess what? That's the luxury we have. I'm on a fence.
But going back to the Dallas situation, they got called out. They responded. And now you have a team that is in the second round of the playoffs. And they have as good a chance of winning the Stanley Cup as anybody. When you sit there and you think about the Dallas Stars, what do you think about? You think of kind of offense. You think of Jamie Benn, who is one of the leaders, point producers in the league. Sagan, Radulov. They've got some the Klingberg on defense that's putting up a ton of points for a defenseman. You would think that team's going to be an offensive team. They were the second best defensive team in the NHL under Jim Montgomery. It's nice when you have elite hockey players that worry about playing defense first, because that's what wins you games.
Let's ask JR.
Or we can beat Toronto Maple Leafs and you can win a ton of games and lose a ton of games because you can't play defense.
That one came down to goaltending. Let's do this. Let's ask JR. about the Dallas situation, about San Jose, because you wrote two questions down that I have not yet asked you, but we'll do it with JR. San Jose, was that the win, the emotional win that gets them over the hump to maybe win them the cup? What was this one again?
Is there another one?
Was this one here?
Is this the team that takes Jumbo back to the finals?
No, you were supposed to write. You wrote the same question twice. You were supposed to write another one in there.
I don't know.
I said two questions. Anyway, you know what? Doesn't matter. Jeremy Rohnert coming up next. We'll probably forget all of it by the time he gets here. But I'm looking forward to a good segment with JR because it was an unbelievable first round of playoffs. And I got to ask him about Pavelski. First and foremost, the Eakin 5-minute major. The most vocal man in hockey. I can't wait to hear what he has to say coming up next.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back. Waiting on the man, the myth, the legend, Jeremy Rohnert. And curious to hear his thoughts on this. I didn't see any tweets. I know that he was pretty hard on the Caps last night, rightfully so. But I don't know, Riv. I mean, is it that much of an upset that the Caps or the Canes knocked off the Caps?
Absolutely not. You know how many wins Washington had this year? 48. You know how many wins Carolina had?
I know the answer.
46. What's the difference between those two? Two wins. There you go. This is a toss-up. This is a toss-up. I mean, these two teams are very, very close in the standings, and it is not a huge upset whatsoever that Washington lost to Carolina.
Is Brind'Amour likely to change things up if Svechnikov and Furlan come back? I mean, those two guys are...
No question.
Yeah.
New series, new team, new strategy.
Is that smart?
Don't
you kind of roll with
what is smart is that they gave this young player an opportunity to really heal. You remember them saying that he might be available in game six, and I was thinking to myself, game six, you might need a little bit more time than that to shake the cobwebs. So you know what? I mean, getting those two players back, if they can, Furlan and Svechnikov, I mean,
so,
they're game changers.
I think Greg Wyshynski tweeted out, it's in our group message here, he said, did I hear Rohnert say that the Caps quit in Game 7? Do you think they quit? Did they have the same... I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean, did they quit? They were up pretty much the entire game into the third period where, Jordan Staal ends up going in and scores the game-tying goal. What do you mean, did they quit?
I don't know what he meant. I can't speak for him.
No, I don't think they quit at all. But I'll tell you this. I mean, TJ Oshie, you got to see what he means to this this team. I mean, he is a big part of their leadership core, and the way he works on the ice, he never takes a shift off. He's basically a workhorse. He's a workhorse with skill. He does everything. And they missed that. There's no question. They couldn't replace you're not going to replace TJ Oshie. I'll tell you that right now.
Let's do second round predictions while we wait for JR's battery to charge in his cell phone. Which second round series are you most excited for? This is one that, can I go first?
Sure.
Actually, I don't even know. It's not even the second round. I think what it is I really want to see a Columbus Islanders conference final.
Yep.
I don't know why.
If there's one team,
I pick Boston to win. I don't know if I really picked them to win.
You want them to win?
Boston?
Do you want them to win?
Boston?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Either do I. I don't want to see Boston win. Just shoot them out the door. I think that this team and this city has won enough, as far as I'm concerned. And for me, the one team that sticks out to me is watching the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. Watching the way that they played to take and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, I thought was mind-blowing. I thought that there would have been a pushback at some point from the best team in the National Hockey League, okay? But I'll tell you right now, Columbus Blue Jackets dominated the entire time. They were out hit them. They just outplayed them in every aspect of the game.
Here's that question.
I can't wait to watch because I love how they play. They play big. They play physical and fast.
The question you forgot to write down was who's at the advantage or disadvantage? Is it Boston or Columbus? Because Boston's just coming off seven-game series that ended a couple days ago. Columbus ended about a month ago, and you almost feel like Columbus would have rather come off a very emotional Game 7 where they've been on the ice playing at a high pace and then roll into the next round, kind of like Boston just did. So there's, I don't know if I want to call it rust or just
this is very, timing. Very easy for me. This is a very, very easy question. And the question is, would you rather be the Columbus Blue Jackets
with
winning
time
in
off.
Four with lots of time off or the Boston Bruins who are rolling into the second round with, what, 2 days? 2 days difference after winning a very emotional Game 7? 1,000% I want to be the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm sure that they gave these guys an opportunity to rest their bodies. These guys are hungry. I'm sure that they understand this time of year is all about focusing. They're all collectively going to be, are they going to be a little bit rusty maybe in the first period, maybe second, third period? I don't know, of the first game. Could be. But I will take the Columbus Blue Jackets in their situation of knocking off in a very emotional series, knocking off the best team in the league and rolling in very healthy and very hungry and maybe taking a quick bite at the Boston Bruins because they're a little banged up. They're going to be definitely fatigued and tired. You got Zdena Chara, Bergeron, guys like that. Krejci, they're not young players. They're not young. So the more you push them, the more you get these guys back on the ice, you're just going to wear them out. You're just going to wear these guys out. Believe me, I've been through it enough to know that you definitely want to be the team that is rested.
It was funny. You asked a question today I didn't even really think of because you have the Hurricanes and the Islanders playing on Friday already. And you said, so what's Carolina doing? Are they flying right from Washington to New York? And I said, well, I don't know. Maybe they said when you leave for Game 7, pack for like 6 days because you don't know where you're going. Or do you think they went home and hit the reset button?
I think they're going to reset it. And that was an interesting question. Carolina just won last night in Washington. You fly home. You get in late. You're probably still on emotional. You're going to meet the fans are going to be at the airport waiting for you. You're going to go
round one. Are
absolutely.
They? You think so?
Oh my Lord. They were rioting in the streets when we won the first round of the playoffs in Montreal.
How many years had it been?
What do you mean? How many years had it been?
Were you in the playoffs the year before?
Yeah. Oh. That's just the way Montreal is. It doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, you're right. They land in Carolina. They're going bonkers.
They got the bunch of jerks. You still have the emotion going, the excitement. You have to really try and channel that, especially when you're young guys going into the playoffs for the first time. There's a lot of youthful guys on Carolina. There's no question about that. But you know what? I mean, I would certainly like to be the Islanders licking their lips, sleeping in their own beds, focusing. Trotz is going to make sure that these guys are ready to rock and roll. He's going to understand that they're going to come into this first game and they're going to come on fumes and emotion. But you know what? You stick to the system, stick to the structure, which Islanders have done all year long. And I believe that the Islanders are going to take this series against Carolina just because the Islanders are rested. They're focused and they're ready and they have home ice advantage. And they're in a good situation.
You want to do predictions? I mean, I can't even predict. But, you know, someone tweeted to me earlier and they said, hey, I need your help with predictions. Number one, why are you asking me? I'm the last guy you should ask. And number two, I couldn't pick. I can't pick.
A lot of these series are completely toss-ups. They truly are toss-ups. The Islanders I like over Carolina just because I think Carolina is going to – they've had a lot of travel. They've had to travel to Washington three times, okay? Played a Game 7, double overtime, extremely emotional. extremely emotional on the body, mentally and physically, emotionally. That wears on you. Even though it's a positive, it still takes energy from your body. And I think the Islanders are kind of sitting back, preparing. They have home ice advantage. I just really like the Islanders with the way that they play the defensive hockey, and it's amazing when you say that they're the best defensive team in the league, but they still seem to win and score a lot of goals because they just play as a five-man unit every time they're on the ice. I like Columbus over Boston, and this is gonna be a series. This is gonna be a physical, because the Boston's fourth line with that Akuri and all the players that they have, Curly, they're physical. And so is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Third and fourth lines have some jam to them. It's going to be an incredible series. But I just have Columbus because they're going to be healthy and rested.
Give me your quick, because we got to get our buy sell trade in here, which I think you kind of just answered, but we're going to do it anyway. Avalanche, Sharks.
I'm going to go with the Sharks on this.
Dallas Blues.
I have absolutely no idea. I would go probably with St. Louis.
And you picked, when you said Canes, Islanders, who'd you pick?
I have the Islanders. Okay. Columbus. I have San Jose, hopefully Joe Pavelski, because that's a big part of their team. But they're just so deep on defense in San Jose, running those two horses with Burns and Carlson, and for that matter, a really underappreciated Mark Edward Vlasic. I think they're going to be a good situation.
All right, so you may have picked Columbus to win the series, but that doesn't necessarily change our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. You may not have them picked, but Bruins are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. I believe I'm going to buy this. Let me kick this one off, River. First day back, so you can see how it's done. Yeah. I'm going to buy this, but it doesn't believe I think they're going to win. I mean, yeah. I picked them to win kind of, half-heartedly. But I'll say that because I half-heartedly picked them, they're kind of my horse. So if they go through and win, I look like a genius. But I don't believe they're going to win this series.
Why are they the favorite. Why
are
they picked over Columbus? What would be the one reason?
Experience.
They have guys that have won the Stanley Cup. Bergeron, Chara, Marchand, Krejci. These guys have all won the Stanley Cup. They know what it takes. They have that veteran leadership. And that is the difference between the two teams. You have Columbus Blue Jackets, where I don't think that there's a player on the team that has won the Stanley Cup before or have been in a situation that they're in. So I still feel that this is the year of the upsets. I believe that we're all going to be sitting there scratching our head going, in the next series, like you cannot predict any of these series because the teams are very similar in levels.
So did you buy, sell, or trade that the Bruins are the favorites to win the Cup?
I'm going to sell it flat out because I believe right now that I would take Columbus Blue Jackets over the Boston Bruins right now, any day of the week.
Okay. Draft day, big day, Bills number 9 pick. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a couple bands that you might love that are being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before we do a little prediction for tonight's game. Instigators, Iced Again by JR. Not sure what that's all about. Not going to take it personally. I'm sure something probably came up. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators. We'll be right back.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, this will wrap up a two-hour work week for old man River. It's a tough one for you.
Yeah, I'm exhausted right now.
I bet you are. We're off tomorrow, NFL draft. So lots of coverage going on, an exciting weekend in football. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Induction ceremony is this weekend as well.
And who we got?
Stevie Nicks going in. Guy can wail. Def Leppard. How many times when you came into the room in your early days pro was Def Leppard just absolutely roaring? in the locker room. Was that your genre? Is that like that's hair metal music, right? That's your Like you were Motley Crue. You were into those guys, right?
Def Leppard, a little bit. Was it Hysteria?
Well, they have a lot more. If they're going into the Hall of Fame with just one song, Hysteria, then
yeah, they're
the whole Vault album.
I was a little, a little heavier than that back in the day.
A little heavier than that.
Yeah.
What about the Zombies? You ever heard of the Zombies?
Yes.
Yeah. What about Roxy Music?
No.
And one of my favorites. One of my favorites. The Cure. They're going in.
Very nice.
Yeah. So some good music. Good talking to you. Who do you like tonight?
Who's playing?
That's a great question. Blue Jackets, Bruins, we just discussed, and Stars, Blues. This, you think it's going to take the Jackets a game or a period or two periods to get the, some legs back underneath them, or do you think they are? No,
I think that the Blue Jackets are going to be up 2-0 after the first period because they're going to be coming out guns a-blazing. I'm going to tell you right now, I know exactly. I've been in these situations before. I've played game sevens, and I know how long the season is. I know how all those guys are feeling right now. They're all banged up. Their muscles are sore. They're mentally and physically fatigued. And you have a team that basically just blew out the best team in the National Hockey League in Columbus, and they had a week to rest. They had a week to rest their bodies. I'm sure Torts, who's been through this before, who's won a Stanley Cup before with Tampa Bay, he has these guys right where he wants them, and they're going to be coming out guns a-blaze in that first game in Boston. Watch out. They're going to be playing at a relentless pace. They're big, they're fast, and they're aggressive. Every single guy hits, every single guy forechecks, they all backcheck, they all block shots. This is a very, very tough team to play against.
I don't like how this shapes up
against
for Boston. I would have felt better if Boston were playing Tampa. My original prediction was, when you canceled the segment, was I said they'll lose.
Why did you like Boston over Tampa Bay?
Physicality.
Thank you very much. Well, I'll tell you right now, it ain't happened over Columbus. That's not going to happen.
Well, that's
over
what I
Columbus.
Mean. I don't think they match up well. I don't think it's a physical
Columbus,
mismatch.
Columbus, I believe, has more offense in their lineup right now than what Boston does. Boston.
That's a bold statement, Cotton.
I like it. I like it because I think that, you know, Temi Panarin, Dubois, who's Dubois? I don't know. He scored 27 goals.
Number three overall pick. That's almost a genius pick right there. They picked him over
DeZingle,
the Finnish kid.
Duchesne, you just keep rolling top-end players. And what makes this team so amazing is their third line. Boone Jenner, Anderson, and Foligno. Boom shakalaka. That's the one that's going to help win these guys this next series because they're the ones who are going to show and lead the way physically.
How do Panarin and Bobrovsky walk away from this?
Easily. Okay. Money and Florida. See ya.
Draft day. Who do you want at number 9? Call One Bills Live next. Tremaine Edmonds will be on the show, and also our good buddy Lorenzo Alexander. We walked past him the other day, and he didn't blow us off, Riv. He was, you know, he wasn't like, you know, back in team mode. He stopped and said hi, and
yep.
Looks like a specimen as usual. So he'll be in with the boys, and long day today. Good luck at the Bills tonight and the draft pick. We'll be back on Monday. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.